Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you again to another episode of The Preacher and the Miracle Man here on Monday, December 9th of 2019. I do apologize for what happened about 25 minutes ago. The issue that we were having is that apparently at the facility where Blog Talk Radio was headquartered, they had some big storms 8 days ago that was messing with some stuff. And so for the last 8 days, they were not totally functioning. But praise God, it looks like they're getting everything back together. And I'm really glad to be here. I apologize for the late start. I had a ton of stuff to get to tonight. Some of that I will now have to get to tomorrow. For those of you who are wondering, the leadership conference in my church was a huge success. I mean, yes, it's always a success, but the power of God was totally felt there. And they talked about leadership. And there's some things about that I want to talk about. Usually on Monday night, to start with, I do some icebreaker stuff for a bit. But tonight, with a little more limited time, there's not going to be as much of that tonight. Instead, I will share a couple golden nuggets from the conference. And then I want to open up the Word of God. And I want to start the teachings on Christmas. And then I have some sports to get to tonight. And then we'll go from there. And by the way, I did a song last night at my church, The First Noel. It is available on YouTube. You can go on YouTube and watch it. I believe it's Julie Shukla is the channel. And you'll be able to find the video of me singing. And you can judge it for yourself. Also, there is a book that my mother wrote that came out. The book is about me. And it's about the story of a mother, you know, who lived by faith. As, you know, her son was going through all kinds of stuff. It's called River of Miracles, R-I-V-E-R, of Miracles. You can go to that website to find out information. In fact, I'm going to go take a look at that website when I get home. I don't know why I haven't been on that website yet. I've just been so busy with the conference and everything else. And they're getting ready for the holidays and everything else. But here's something that I'm not sure I knew this very well, but I do now. It is easier. I mean, it is harder to follow than what it is to be a leader. I'll say it again. It's harder to follow than what it is to be a leader. However, the truth is, you must be a good follower if you ever want to be a leader. This applies to church. This applies to your company. It applies to a lot of different things. You have to be able to follow your boss, follow their instructions, follow their, you know, yeah, well, you told me to do it that way. Well, I was wrong to tell you to do it that way. We're going to do it this way now. Because that didn't work. But also, if you want to be a good leader, you know, communication, that's really important, very important. It really is. Now, sorry, but anyhow, it was a very good conference attended by a lot of preachers. And then at the end of it, they took an honor offering for Pastor. Because when you've been a preacher to preachers, and such a minister of the gospel at the level that Mark T. Barclay has been for over 40 years now, he is worthy of that level, of a very high level of honor. He's not a guy that was just appointed to be a boss last week. No. He has been a leader among leaders for many years. And he does a great job. I'm proud to have him as my pastor. And as a prophet. Without him, I'd be dead. I would have died a long time ago. But ultimately, the highest praise of all goes to God. But when you honor your pastor, of course, yes, you are honoring God. Like if your pastor is a spirit-filled pastor and you're honoring him and doing what tells you to do, you're also honoring God by the same level. Amen. Yes. You are. But that's all I'm going to share about the conference as far as this evening. As more things kind of come up in my spirit, maybe from over the course of this past week, I'll share them with you tomorrow night. Now, yesterday we had a great pastor, a great preacher, Pastor Kenny Gatlin from out in California. He stayed over from the conference, and he shared with us on the divine protection of God. He taught on, and he preached from Psalm 91. He went to some other verses. And he gave some real life scenarios. I'm going to tell you a story. One day, about 20 years ago, Pastor Gatlin lived in near Fort Worth at the time, and he was to go to Moore, Oklahoma, right near Oklahoma City. Just as he was getting ready to go to starting to pack his bags and get ready to make the drive north down I-35, he kind of got a check in his spirit. He felt like in his spirit that he was not to go that day. And he's like, okay. I don't know why, but I know this is from God, you know. I respect it. And it's a family member of his. It was their graduation from, I mean, the graduation party from graduating Bible college. So, a few hours later, an EF5 tornado. At the time, it was an EF. It was just F, because there was, at the time, there was not the enhanced Fujita scale. There was just the Fujita scale. And anyhow, an F5 tornado went through and destroyed a lot of things in Moore, Oklahoma. A lot of people had their houses totally destroyed as a result of that tornado. But these people who were living right, their stuff wasn't touched. Not touched. That doesn't mean, however, that you're not going to go through stuff just because you're under the protection of God. You'll find, though, that it'll be a lot better for you living under the protection of God than if you're not. That tornado actually had went right over I-35. So they could have been driving and basically been taken out by that tornado. But they weren't. Because they obeyed obeyed God. So I would say I had told you guys a couple weeks ago about how Brother Hagin had said that he could see people going in, being on an airplane, being told, I mean, having a check in their spirit and feeling like, I don't think I'm supposed to be on this airplane. Then they say they got to get off. They get off. And then the plane crashes. And it makes the news. By the way, this is what Hagin saw in his spirit. By the Spirit of God, that could happen. Or people go to one of these restaurants somewhere. Pretty much anywhere. We'll say they go into the restaurant, sit down, and all these are, Christian people. So we'll just say they we'll just say they go to the restaurant, sit down, order their, order themselves a water or iced tea or Coca-Cola drink, and they're looking at the menu, they're about to order their food, but the Holy Spirit, they feel a check in their spirit. And they're like thinking, I don't know that I'm supposed to be here right now. And if they're keen in the Holy Spirit, they'll get up and get out of there. Only to find a few minutes later that the restaurant gets destroyed. You know, the Holy Spirit will show you things if you let him. One person, a man from our church, he's driving down the expressway on his way to work. He's driving down the highway. I don't know what way he's going on the highway. Pastor didn't say. He just said the freeway. By the way, it was many years ago that Pastor Barkley told this story, but I remember him telling it. So he's driving down the highway. He hears something in the Spirit. He hears the Holy Spirit. Pull this car over. I'm on my way to work. I don't want to be late for work. He's like, I love you, Jesus. Pull this car over now. Then a couple minutes later, he said, the Holy Spirit basically said it. He said to him, pull this car over now. And knowing how loud that voice gets in his mind, he pulls over. And then, what do you know it? Not too far ahead where he would have been. Two cars hit each other head on. Had he decided to not obey God, that could have resulted in his death. What, because he obeyed the Holy Spirit, pulled the car over, he lived on. And Brother Gatlin, Pastor Gatlin, told a few other stories yesterday about the protection of God. Amen. Now, listeners, I promised you that I would do two Christmas songs each show between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I am keeping to that promise, even tonight, although our showtime is limited. I will sing this song. I will pray. I'm opening my Bible right now to the book of Matthew. And I'm going to go to Matthew 1:18. So listeners, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sing. You go ahead and open your Bibles. We're going to pray. Then I'll begin reading. Hallelujah. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It was the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices of yonder break. A new and glorious morn, fall on your knees. So hear the angel voices all night divine, all night. All night divine, all night divine, all night divine. Chains shall he break, for the slave is a brother. His love is life, and his gospel is peace. Pains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name, in Jesus' name, all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy, for while the glorious praise be, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Let men forever praise him. His power and glory evermore proclaim. His power and glory evermore proclaim. Fall on your knees. Hear the angel voices all night divine, all night when Christ was born, all night divine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That night when Christ was born. It's part of what we're going to be talking about tonight. And as tonight's title, I'm just simply going to call it Jesus and His Birth. Or in better terms, so you can understand it, the birth of Jesus. Now, over the next few sessions leading up to Christmas, we're going to be discussing what are the reasons for Christmas. Mom, if you're listening, one of the reasons for Christmas, although it's fine, you can get gifts for me. That is not one of the reasons, though, that Dr. Buckley is going to say, has said. And listeners, in case you're wondering what's going to be on that list, it's not going to be to buy me gifts. It's spiritual reasons for why we have Christmas. what did Jesus come onto this earth to do? We're going to be discussing that. What kind of implications did the birth of Jesus have? We'll be discussing that. But tonight, it's going to be the opener. Just what happened. We'll talk about the star a little bit too. That star that was coming, that came from the east. And that song that I, song, listeners, that I sang last night, the first Noel. And I did that, sang that last week on the last broadcast. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for all of these wonderful listeners who made the determination to tune into this program tonight to learn something about you, to learn more about you. I just thank you that as we study your word for the next little while, I pray that things would be imparted to them, that your word will just meet their needs. May they take something home with them that they can share. I mean, most of them are humble. May they take something. Maybe they can share it with their kids. Maybe they can share it with their relatives. Maybe they can just share it with people maybe at the workplace tomorrow. And I just thank you that your word brings life to them. And I just thank you that you use me tonight eloquently. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, I confess over this radio program that sponsors and partners are coming into this program. Increases in listenership are coming. I thank you, Lord God, for the increases in listenership that are coming. And most important of all, I thank you, Lord God, for souls coming into this kingdom. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are using us to win souls. Lord God, even right now, as people are maybe more open to hearing about you, as songs are being played even in the stores about you. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Matthew 1, verse 18. Woo! Praise God. Matthew 1, verse 18. So just after the genealogy, and we're going to go through part of chapter 2. Just give me a few seconds to turn in your Bible so you can follow along. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to start reading. If you're not at Matthew 1:18 and you're still looking for it, I'll go ahead and start reading and you can just catch up to me. All right. Now this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant and with child through the Holy Spirit. because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. Thank goodness he was righteous. Thank God that Joseph was righteous. So Joseph was a righteous man, and he did not want to expose Mary by public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, and he said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from prayer, church attendance, and their Bible." At first, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. Amen. Verse 22. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child, and he will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and she gave him the name Jesus. Chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and he asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all of the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly, and he found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find the child, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by a different route. I'm going to continue a little bit further. Verse 13. Now when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet. Out of Egypt, I have called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. When what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled, a voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her kids, her children, and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said by the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene. Okay. What you see here, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It doesn't really discuss this in Matthew, but in Luke, it discusses this fact that the reason he was lying in a manger at his birth was because there was no room for them at the inn. It didn't say why. It said that there was no room for them in the inn, for their family. Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus, there was no room for them in the inn. Okay. They didn't have the room to be able to let them stay there. Now, he was wrapped in the swaddling clothes. And then an angel of the Lord tells Joseph not to be afraid, because he had thought about, I should quietly divorce Mary. Maybe I should divorce Mary. And then God said, the angel of the Lord says, Joseph, don't do that. What's conceived in Mary is from the Holy Ghost. And then the angel proceeded to inform Joseph that Mary will have a son. She shall give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Or one way we could say that, he will be their savior. He also, and it also fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet that said, she shall have a son and she'll give him the name Emmanuel. And by the way, listeners, Emmanuel means God is with us. So when we sing these Christmas songs this season, particularly like the one that says, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. When we sing that song, basically what we're saying is rejoice, for God is with us. He said that he would be wonderful, that he would be a counselor. That he would be our leader. Now that was obviously, it doesn't say what month, like how long before the birth that event happened. And then Jesus is born in Bethlehem. The star comes, shining in the east. Wise men come, and shepherds. They find a star coming in the east, and they came to worship Jesus. Herod decided he wanted to come too. Only later he decided that he wanted to kill Jesus. To the point where Mary and Joseph got told by the angel of the Lord to go somewhere else, go to Egypt, and get away from Herod. Because Herod did not like Jesus very well. It's kind of like how there's some leaders that don't like Christians very well. They don't like They don't like Christians because they don't like our God. They don't like our God. They don't have respect for Him. I'm just taking a look. Back in Matthew, between what I read tonight, we called up people, all the chief priests and teachers of the law. He asked them where the Christ was to be born. And they're talking about how He was born in Judea. So it talks about that He'll be the shepherd of the people of Israel. Now Herod told them, what time have you been born? And then they found Him, and even Herod worshipped. They left Herod alone, but these magi, these wise men, they went and they followed the star, wherever the star went. The star stops right at the place where Jesus was. And they had great joy when they saw that star. And they see, these wise men see Mary and Joseph. They bow down and they worship Him. And they open gifts. The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh that they have to present to Jesus. Now, if you're wondering, what does gold, frankincense, and myrrh have to do with a little baby? It was about honor. And I'm so thankful that Jesus is not a baby anymore. Now, I'm sure some people may tease about it. I heard one pastor tell the story. Well, one time at Easter, this pastor was the father of a little child at the time. And he says, okay, we're going to go to church today, and we're going to celebrate Jesus being raised from the dead, rose from the grave. Next year, he gets told the same thing. And maybe a year after that. But suddenly this kid says, what? He rose from the grave again? Like he actually gets risen from the grave once a year. What the kid didn't realize at the time was that it is a celebration that happens every year. Same thing with this. We celebrate Christmas every year, but He wasn't born every year. And by the way, this idea that He was born on December 25th, but that's why they do it, it's not written in Scripture what day exactly Jesus is born. But December 25th was chosen as the date for Christmas. That's why we do it on December 25th. Because there's theories that he was born in October. Those other theories are that he was born in the springtime. So that could have been March, April, May, maybe even as late as like June 20th. Because generally like June 21st or so is when the summer starts. But the Bible doesn't say, kind of like it does for these other dates, like with Noah and that, you know, the 601st year in the first month, the 17th day in the month, you know, about Noah and the flood and what have you. It doesn't say that about when Jesus was born, as far as what date. Now, here in them, it's mentioned at what time he was born. However, they didn't tell us what time. But because of the birth of Jesus, because of Christmas, people were given hope. People were given life. Because of Christmas, we can be free. Because of Christmas, we can be healed. Because of Christmas, because of the birth of Jesus Christ, what if Jesus wasn't born? If Jesus wasn't born, we would still be under the old covenant, and we would have to be given all these burnt sacrifices, all these fellowship offerings, drink offerings, all these other things. You know, if it wasn't for the birth of Jesus, I might have to sacrifice some of my French fries to the priest. I mean, to a priest. I don't know how we'd be doing that. Because of Christmas, prophets predicted, Isaiah predicted that there would be, that Jesus Christ would be born. Isaiah said that. That he would be called Jesus. Amen. Praise God. We'll have this deeper discussion on this tomorrow night. Because time waits for nobody. And my clock seems to be moving faster and faster and faster and faster. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great word. Thank you for your birth. We're so thankful that you were born to this earth. Thank you for what your birth represents for us. I thank you, Lord, for what we have as a result of your birth and for what everything you were born to do. And we're going to continue to study this week and next week what all this means. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So sports. lot to get to, not enough time. Some of it's going to have to be tomorrow night. All right. Let's talk about some basketball really quick. Tuesday night, Michigan State loses to Duke. And then Michigan loses to Louisville. Had Michigan not lost to Louisville, they could have still been possibly be ranked number one in the country. But at that time, Louisville was the number one. The new number one in America is, believe it or not, that team to the south. They got Michigan at football. Now they've decided we're going to keep going. Let's carry our domination into the basketball season. And they've decided to just keep on going. And who knows? Maybe they might have to do Michigan versus that team to the south in Detroit, maybe. When you have the two teams, basketball teams that are possibly ranked number one versus number two in the Big Ten season, your college football basketball arena might not be big enough, huh? It might not be big enough to meet all that demand, huh? So they might have to move it to somewhere else. Wouldn't you think, Caitlin, they may have to move it somewhere else?
Yeah, they might have to.
Quite honestly, if it's that good, they could move it to Ford Field in downtown Detroit and barely have enough seats to fill it.
Oh, really?
I mean, they've had a couple of college basketball games there other than the NCAA tournament. And they just about filled the entire place, like 70,000 people.
Wow, that's incredible. That's a lot of people.
And these college basketball stadiums, Michigan only seats like 13,500. And the Bucks Arena in Columbus, I think that's only like 1,000 bigger. Who knows, maybe they'll have to play them in the one that's in Michigan. They might have to play it in downtown Detroit, maybe a Little Caesars Arena or maybe Ford Field. And the other one they might have to play in maybe Cleveland or at the bigger, larger arena in Columbus where the Blue Jackets play. But so Michigan and that team to the south, two of the best teams in college basketball at this point. Michigan State's doing pretty good, too. But they've struggled to find their stride. Football. I know, listeners, you're thinking, oh, Monday night, football night. Well, this is the first Monday night during football season that I didn't really talk about football. I'm going to do it tomorrow night. So, until tomorrow night, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody.